I want to just express something very personal. I'm very, very happy, really, to be here in New Vrindavan. I hear the sound is not loud enough. Maybe we can just tune it up a little. I think we all know what Srila Prabhupada had in mind for New Vrindavan. He wanted it to become a pilgrimage site, at least for all of America, if not all of the world. Srila Prabhupada always had a very inclusive and great vision. We know that he wanted that devotees would come like you have come for a sacred pilgrimage to improve their relationship with Krishna. That's what you do on a pilgrimage. And we also knew the difficult journey which the project had made, the difficult challenges which happened on the way. But really coming now to New Vrindavan, it feels like entering the spiritual world. I mean, in the morning you hear these peacocks and you think I'm at Govardhan. or where am I? What happened to a poor conditioned soul like me that I'm in such an atmosphere? Then you go out and see the serene surroundings, and when you take the darshan of these very beautiful deities, Shishi, Radha, Vrindavan, Chandra. Yes, you think very deeply, my Lord, you are there on the other side of birth and death, on the other side of the river of birth and death. That's how Prahlad Maharaj says. I'm here on this side of the river of birth and death, but I feel in my heart we have a relationship. Please accept me. So getting all these impressions on this visit to New Vrindavan, I cannot contain my profound joy, but also my gratitude towards the devotees who are staying here and who know very well about the difficult journey to establish a pure spiritual place in a material world. So thank you very much for providing such a wonderful, really, site of pilgrimage. And for all of you who have come to join this retreat, I also want to say something before I start officially. I'm extremely grateful to all of you also, because you give me an opportunity to share something which is maybe most precious in my own spiritual life, that is the holy name. We have called this, or named this retreat, the Living Name Retreat. We had an idea behind it, why to call it the Living Name Retreat. You see, we all wish to be alive, fully alive in our spiritual life. We want to experience the promises which have been given by our glorious tradition, that indeed it is possible in this life to make a firm contact or establish a firm relationship with Krishna in our constitutional and original position as a part of Him. We have been called by this promise. Here, come everyone. You can make a contact with the Lord in this life. How? Well, by chanting the holy, his holy name, and we have been informed that if we can just get this one thing right, to chant the holy name, then we actually establish a relationship with Krishna. We again become life, as Prabhupada says, there, he means in spiritual life, is again life. There is again Krishna. There is again Vrindavan, no? And all the devotees of Krishna. Again we come to our real life, our constitutional life, our original position, by just making a very deep, deep relationship with the Lord in his most merciful form, which is his the Naam Avatar, the appearance of the Lord as his divine name. And so this promise has called me to join our movement when the world was younger, many, many years back. It has called me, and it has always, throughout my own journey in Krishna consciousness, remained in my mind. If I just get this one thing right, if I can just chant the holy name in a proper way, then I can actually meet Krishna. I have always remembered this promise, which made me give up my old life and join this life as a monk in Krishna consciousness. And I've always thought, how can I make this relationship real? How can I, in a way, perfect my practice or improve it at least in this life more and more, so that the meeting with the Lord can take place. And this has been the focus of my own spiritual life, and I've studied our books many times and started to extract principles and statements which repeat themselves, which say, if you do this, then you will chant, what is it, then you will develop love of Godhead, and so on. And I have extracted throughout my life and my own practice five very powerful practices how to chant the holy name with absorption. That means you are there, you are not absent, but you are present there. I have summarized in a book. It is called The Living Name. We tried to have the book ready for all of you, printing regulations are also there, so it is at the moment somewhere at a Polish printer in Poland, and it will be available just now coming. but here I wish to present two of these very powerful practices in chanting the holy name, the most important two ones. I cannot go through all the five practices because we have only two and a half days for this. But two can be presented, and you will see. They will to go into this will give you a new life. It will bring you to a new let me say, level of Krishna consciousness, expect some miracles to happen. It is a transformative seminar that I need to say in the beginning. I don't just wish to give you more information. You have an overload of information already. A regular devotee listens to, I don't know, maybe at least 500 lectures a year and forgets all of them because it's just so much information. And then all the internet and Instagram and what's up now, brother? What is it called? What's up? I call them mobile monsters, these things which you think are very good for you, these mobile telephones. No, this is not another informational seminar. It's a transformational retreat. That's something entirely different. I'm asking you to make a commitment for this 2.5 days to yourself and to your spiritual master and to the Lord to really give your best to go into this transformation. My dear devotees, which show me one drunkard who is reformed by hearing information how alcohol is bad for you. Show me one obese person, that's a thing in America I hear, that overweight, who has changed his habit just by information alone. Transformation or change doesn't happen by information. It happens by those activities which bring you to a new experience. And it is this new experience which will help you to move forward in your life. Information is not all, it's not unnecessary. It shows us definitely the way in which to look. But if you do not act upon your knowledge, you remain on the same level. So therefore, I need to say this in the very beginning. This is something which where I will go with you through experiences in your chanting. I will guide you in your chanting, and you will make definitely experiences which are new for you, hopefully. And then as you make them, you get a very, very useful thing. You get a matihi, a transcendental orientation, which will help you to improve your spiritual life very, very nice. So therefore, I would like to request you at the very beginning, please trust your facilitator. He has good motives. Please become inclined to, in the very beginning, to make a wonderful experience and a wonderful, let me say, to find your treasures which will help you to move forward. I would like to read you something which I think very, very much. For persons who are not, this is now for those this is from Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, chanting the holy name of the Lord. And he says there, for persons who are not inclined important, we need an orchestra for this. For persons who are not inclined to clean the dust from their hearts and who want to keep things as they are, it is not possible to derive the transcendental result of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. For persons who do not want to change, it is not possible. One should therefore be encouraged. One should therefore be encouraged to develop his service attitude towards the Lord, because this will help him to chant without offense. So, under the guidance of a spiritual master, the disciple is trained to render service and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So, my dear devotees, I request you to see coming to this retreat not as a holiday, not something to, let me try to speak American now, to chill out. It's not a superficial thing. We are actually committing to a service. The most important service is to chant the Lord's name. That's how it starts. Shravanam, hearing, and kirtanam. No? That's what we do when we chant. The most important devotional service, which gives rise to everything else. With the service attitude, we will enter this retreat and expect miracles. It's not me who is here important. I like this role of a facilitator, a helper. It's the holy name whom we approach. We do this under the guidance of our divine spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and we will definitely experience a change in heart. So, Hare Krishna. No, we will. Where's a talented Midanga player? Good. Gopal, you should always be next to Gaur Krishna. Madhava Kunyaviha Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhara.
Krishna Vallabha Idi Varada. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamunatira Vanachari Yamunatira Vanachari Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare, Hare.
Thank you.
Jaya Radha Vrindavan Chanda Radha Vrindavan Chanda Shri Radhe Gaura Premanandi Hari 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 Bo.
Sorry, this is airplanes, no? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Great happiness in our heart, we welcome you to Living Name Retreat by putting an intense question to you. What is your present chanting of the Holy Name like? Are you satisfied to have reached the perfection of chanting with deep love for Krishna? Are you satisfied? Let us put the bar a little lower. To chant with taste and absorption? Let us put the bar a little lower. Are you satisfied with your attention? Have you conquered your mind and its constant pulling on you so that you avoid the root of all the offenses, that is inattention while chanting the Holy Name? Whenever I asked myself these uncomfortable questions, I'm reminded of a very, very important meeting which took place between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and Rupa Goswami, the one who was ordered by the Lord to systemize the teachings of Bhakti and who wrote this guidebook, Nectar. We know it as Nectar of Devotion. It's a summary of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There was a meeting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited one day Rupa Goswami to inspect his writing. Suddenly, he appeared on the place. At that time, Haridas Thakur, who was a regular visitor to Rupa Goswami, saw that he was also there, the Namacharya, the great teacher of the Holy Name, in this meeting. And when they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approaching from the distance, they spontaneously stood up and prostrated themselves before him. They fell down to offer their respectful obeisances. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw his very dear and very important devotees, one would write theological informations, all the informations we need to practice Mahaprabhu's process, and the other is the living example of the Namacharya, the teacher of the essential teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chant the holy name, purify your heart like this. When Lord Chaitanya saw these two stalwart Vaishnavas, he was moved in his heart and he embraced them. He rose, he picked them up from the floor and embraced them. And then he sat down. Then he asked Rupa Goswami, "What are you writing?" And he grabbed one of the palm leaves on which Rupa Goswami was writing and looked at it. And he first commented on Rupa Goswami's beautiful handwriting, not on the content. he was struck by the handwriting, by the quality of the handwriting. And he said, "The handwriting of Rupa Goswami is just like rows of pearls. Beautiful to see, you know. They have what is the beauty of a pearl? It's the lavanga. Lavanga means an effulgence which seems to come from the inside of the pearl. It's so beautiful. It has an effulgence. It speaks immediately to the observer." And then he saw one verse. And when he saw that particular verse, he was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. We will chant this verse. Tunditanda viniratim vitanute tundavali laptaye tunditanda viniratim vitanute tundavali laptaye kana krodha kadambini gatayate kana budepyas priham kana krodha kadambini gatayate kana budepyas priham cheta prangana sangini vijayate savindriyanam kritim cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyat viamritai krishne tivanadvayi no jane janita kiyat viamritai krishne tivanadvayi. So in the presence, why did the Lord become so overwhelmed with ecstatic love when he read this verse? And what happened to Haridas when he heard the verse? Let us listen attentively to the verse, which evoke such an ecstatic response. I imagine some of you, the more advanced one, will jump up and start to dance ecstatically. If you wish to do so, maybe you do this in the in front of Lord Nrisimhadev. I'm joking, obviously. This doesn't happen in our circles. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, there seems to be a space in the heart, a courtyard of, when it dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. See, for someone like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this verse, I mean, for someone like, I don't want to say it like this, there's no one like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, nor is it possible to be like him. But on a very, very high level of Krishna consciousness, Krishna's holy name becomes so much relished, just like Krishna is relished by the devotees. And we hear when Krishna appears in Vrindavan, the devotees start to curse their eyes because they blink for a little while. So in this truti, it's called, or this nimesha, Mahaprabhu calls it, this very brief split second, the devotees feel, "Ah, I don't see Krishna any longer," and they curse Brahma as a very, very, almost like you would curse your mobile telephone if it starts to act out of order, you know. If the mobile phone, for instance, says to you, "You are," and uses a word like an incompetent person, then you would curse him. Why do you say this? It's not in the program. So on. So they curse. Or maybe there are better examples for dysfunctioning things. Huh? But the devotees curse their eyes, curse Brahma as the creator of a dysfunctioning body. They are so much in love with Krishna. It's truly inconceivable for us who are in love with other things. And even there, I don't have such a degree of absorption. No? We are, let me say like this, a great devotee sees Krishna in the holy name, and he is totally overwhelmed with ecstasy when he chants. When Haridas Thakur heard how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted this verse, he also had an ecstatic response. He became jubilant and began to dance in before the hut of Rupa Goswami. So this is a taste. These are examples. Rupa Goswami writing the verse by saying, "When the holy name enters my ear, I am desire many, many ears and many mouths to chant it, because it's so sweet, it's so wonderful." We may experience this when we eat an specially well prepared pizza, and we are very hungry. We go like, and if it's not too hot, we go put it in the mouth, and we think, wow, this ghost is very slow, you know, this process. And we think if we could have, theoretically, we are acting as if we really are very, very eager to take this. So this eagerness, which manifests here in the desire to taste unlimitedly the holy name with unlimited ears, unlimited tongues, that is the highest perfection of chanting the holy name. And it is, this perfection is there when you chant in the mood that this is Krishna whom you relish. I just got a book yesterday evening as a present about one god brother of Srila Prabhupada, who is since a long time deceased. He has left the planet, who was given the permission by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to chant the holy name as his main service. And he chanted each day 8 hours of kirtan and 16 hours of japa. Imagine what taste is necessary. When you chant 8 plus 16, isn't that 24? You know, that is how much he relished this. Because he and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur supplied a room for him in the in his mart that he could do this. He was in the beginning severely criticized by his other god brothers, and he wanted to leave the mart because he couldn't live with that criticism. But he chanted. But he left the mud, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to hear about it and called him back and said, this is what I wish to all the devotees to relish Krishna. This is the goal. Goal, it is, it's, goal means it's for the accomplished one. But that's something to aspire for. And he wanted him to be in the mart, and those who criticized him, he told them, you just chant also 8 hours and 16 hours japa, no, and you will see something. They did it, and they had to give up after half a day or so. No? They did it on a long journey. I'm aware, my dear devotees, that it doesn't help us so much to hear about ideals always. We have heard enough of that. But I need to churn a little bit in your heart so that you know it is. There's much to be gained. There's much to be gained. But in order to come to this level, it's good to start somewhere, and we need to start with an honest assessment where we are in relationship to the holy name. Here in the temple room, I'm a little shy to do these many exercises which I do, but I wish to nevertheless, what can we do here that remains in a traditional frame? Pause for a moment and think, what do you think when you hear this, such descriptions and compare it to your experience of chanting? Can I have some show of hands? What do you think? Yes, I can't see without glasses. I can. Yes, you. I can't understand you. I can't. I could, nowhere near the goal. Is this all right, or should there be?
No, it's not here.
Yeah. Other responses. How do you feel? Yes, you can.
Hare Krishna, I feel as though my japa is very internal. I feel happy and blissful, a lot of serenity, but I can't seem to bring that out to be like the dancing, the ecstasy out here. I'm content and I'm happy and friendly, but I'm not bringing that nectar out.
Achcha.
Externally.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes devotees feel hopeless when they hear the it seems something is stuck, or I'm nowhere near the goal, or so on. See, I've given many japa retreats in the West, and also with Bhurijan Prabhu, we give once a year a japa retreat at the foothill of Govardhan. And what I see in myself and others, often we find ourselves trapped in mechanical practice. We chant with no or very little experience of the aliveness of true Krishna consciousness. When we hear the chanting bestows the highest goal, love of Godhead, we certainly become inspired. But then when we realize how far we are yet away from the goal, we become unmotivated. Most of us make a compromise. Okay, I don't want to always feel with this guilt process. It's normal. My neighbor also chants like me. But if you notice, we are here in the area of the original inhabitants of America. What is it? Native Americans, we have to say. There is a saying, when you see that you are on a dead horse, that your horse on which you're riding is dead, don't pacify your mind by saying the horse of my neighbor is also dead. Get on another horse. That is Native American explanations. So it is possible to exit, I've written this down in the living name, it's possible to exit the hamster wheel of mechanical chanting. And it is possible for us to become self-realized souls, fully alive in Krishna consciousness. We need to learn to chant the holy name with taste and devotion. That's all. Then we will actually feel so inspired that we are on the right road. We are coming close to the perfection, and we feel enlivened. See, when you are on the right road, you may not have yet reached, but you are full of joy. I remember when I had passed the first check in Berlin, where the some check was for German passport holders, if they are allowed to come to the sacred country or not. No offense meant. It is maybe important because some bad people have come in the past. So when I passed the first check, I was not yet in America, but I was on the flight. And when we took off, I showed
Gokushna next to me. Look at Germany is becoming smaller and America is becoming a little bigger in our perception. We are coming closer. We leave something and we go closer. It was an experience of deep joy and so on. And when I finally passed immigration, I was feeling as if I have entered the kingdom of God. so on. But I was not yet in New Vrindavan. But as I was coming closer, I felt this joy, and I think we all know this joy. You know, when we have landed in India and we are out of the terminal, and there's our taxi. Yes, it was late, 1.5 hour, as it is normal in India. But then we are coming close to Vrindavan. We feel excited. We are not yet there, but just the feeling of approaching energizes us new. So, my dear devotees, I want to give a very hopeful atmosphere, because as you will go into this, into these practices, you will feel you are approaching. You will approach your spiritual life in all earnestness. We have called these practices the five life airs of chanting, and just like the five life airs. It's called prana, apana, samana, udana, and vyana. Animate the body with life. Your chanting will be animated. Prabhupada speaks about these life forces comprise the vital force for a living entity, without which one cannot live for a moment. prana. No? Without this, you can't live. So these we want to learn powerful practices as they are given by our glorious tradition, which can enliven the chanting and turn it into a dynamic process, a life-giving process, a nourishing process, which will give you a transformative experience. Mm-hmm. But you must be willing to change. You must have that desire in you. The five processes are, in brief, you have to align body, mind, and heart to the chanting. That's what you have at the moment. You have a body, you have a mind, and you have a heart. It's called in our in spiritual language, it's not a vehicle for enjoyment, but it is called sadhana sharira. A body or a vehicle, sharira means vehicle for spiritual practice. Yeah? That is what is given to you. You can chant with your body, the tongue, the ears. We will learn a few things, how to sit properly, how to listen attentively, and so on. You have a mind which can focus on something and bring you to a perception or an experience. That is, in philosophy, you would call this this ability to reflect is given only to the human being. You have a mind which can reflect the processes. And second, it can focus on a new practice. And you have a heart. I don't mean the pump here, nor do I mean the place of emotions where the Italians go, amore. I mean the center of spiritual experience, where the soul and the Lord sits, the spiritual heart. You can engage that. That will be a little bit more, let me say, you will, yes, that will be very interesting. The second practice is sambandha. Sambandha means to chant with a feeling of
being related to Krishna. Krishna, you are here. Krishna, I am there. There's a prayer. For so many long years, the devotee prays, I have completely forgotten you. But now, my dear Lord, I turn to you. Turn to you. Means I will enter a relationship. I turn to you. Gopal! He begins to smile. The relationship has started. Started yesterday, actually. Turn to Krishna with the holy name means a relationship is forming. Sambandha. It brings one to the essence of bhakti. No? We hear you're part and parcel of Krishna. That's a relationship. The next practice is, we won't be able to teach it here, but you should know it, is chanting in the mood of service. Rupa Goswami says, the material senses can actually not grasp Krishna's name. But if you turn to Krishna with the service attitude, sevan mukhe, no? Mukhe means face, and sevan means with a face inclined to service, then that is real chanting. It's devotional service. Then comes fourth, vipralamba, chanting with the right mood. You feel it's not all right that you are in the circle of birth and death. You want to reach Krishna and you feel a longing for him and the mood of separation. And finally, you come to Sharanagati. That is the process where you surrender entirely to chanting and to the life. That is an advanced process. But Mahaprabhu said the Lord only hears the prayer of someone who applies the process of Sharanagati. Sharanagati is possible also for a new person, a beginner, because it means to approach. Gati means to go. Sharana, the place of shelter, or the person who can give you shelter. It's approach, it's a gradual process. And so on. So, I'm almost finished here. This is a good time to take notes. I want to give you a few guidelines that can help you to make the best out of this retreat. Oops, I'm a little bit late. I acknowledge this. Don't worry, you will soon get your prasadam. It's just the first session, which takes a little longer. I would like you to chant as much as possible while you are on the retreat. Learn, to learn the bicycle means you need to bicycle. To learn chanting, you need to chant. That's very important. For this, we have an optional chanting session if you can't finish your rounds, which is from 4 o'clock to, I believe, 6 o'clock. You will get, when you register, the exact plan. There are kirtans, they are always in the sessions which we have in the yoga shala. You have to bring your bead bags. I will request you to chant. And this is the first important principle. The second is practice silence. I know that's a big one. See, when you put your mind full with normal conversations, let us call them mundane conversations, or mundane conversations which aspire to turn into transcendental conversations. When you put so much other informations, it's good if you want new informations to come into you and transform you, if you are not filled with so many other things. Therefore, usually I request you to reduce your mobile telephone and WhatsApp, Twitter, what else is there, Facebook, social media, which is often very unsocial because the communication is so fast and not so real often. Reduce that. Make a note, I am on retreat. You know, it's not my fault, it's Satchinandan Swami's fault. I will respond to you later. No? Try to create an atmosphere where you are ready, be receptive. No? Chant instead of talking very much. And if you talk, but talking is nice if it's about chanting and spiritual things. Then reflect about your new discoveries. Therefore, I always recommend that you have a notebook and just write, not so much notes, but you know, PowerPoint notes. You know, boom, this one. And then another thing is share your experiences. When you talk with someone, what went on for you during the retreat, and exchange, it will go deeper. And then finally, this I will do in the morning, make concrete, in the first session, make concrete plans how you can implement the new discoveries in your life. Before I leave you, I need four strong men who are not afraid of public appearances. And nothing will happen to you. It's one, two, three, four. Please come to me here. I want to introduce to you at the end a dynamic model which will help you to transform. First of all, you need to form an intention to change. I can see very easily, they have to see. The intention means you realize there's potential here. I have a potential which I have not yet fully used, and I believe I can grow further. Everyone take just 30 seconds to form a little an intention, like I'm here and I would like to make the best out of my retreat. Thank you. Stay. No, I can do everything. Mm-hmm.
The next is Babish. No, Arisya, stay like, keep it up. Don't move. If there is no action, there will be poor results. And if you have poor results on this retreat, your belief that you can change something will be weakened. What people don't know is that the success of anything is usually an accumulation of very small steps, small actions that bring you a wonderful result. See, if you have good intentions, but these intentions are not followed by actions, you will stay the way you are. But even if you do small things, well, transformation can happen. The next is, as you do this, connecting with your attention and making an action, there will be transformation. You experience positive outcomes and grow. And the last is this again, this small outcomes or outcomes will give you a confidence. I heard this is an accepted American word, self-belief. Does it make sense to you, this word? You will actually believe that you can change and you will become so strengthened. What it means in traditional terminology, your shraddha in the process, your shraddha in Krishna will grow. But you need to check yourself during the retreat about your intention. You can think, what will happen in my spiritual life if I don't change? How will be my death experience? My one of millions of death experiences. It's also coming. When I don't advance in Krishna consciousness. And then do something. I request you, do something. You just need to participate fully. And forgive me for my sometimes insistent nature, that's all. And then there will be transformation, you will have outcomes, and you will have confidence, shraddha, and again you will, from all, if I could do this, I will try to chant one round, which I will listen of out of my 16 rounds, or I will chant 5 rounds a day. Some of you, I understand, are not chanting 16 rounds. So on. And then you will again see, wow, I'm doing it. That transformation, I feel better. I'm actually a spiritualist. Let me form a higher intention. One day you will be back to Godhead by this very simple process. I will put these down in the yoga shala for you to make a check. It will be at the entrance to the room. Are you well in the spiral of this? Spiral means small, it starts, it goes intention, action, transformation, confidence or shraddha. Wow! Another intention, action, transformation, shraddha circle. Wow! Another one, and so on. By the way, let us not think that techniques can bring us back to Godhead. What brings us back to Godhead is Krishna's mercy. But when Krishna sees we are making our attempts, he will be extremely satisfied. All right. We are a little over time. There will be questions and answers in the yoga shala. You have now time up till 11 o'clock. There are two modes of arriving at a retreat place. One is in the mode of ignorance, that is when you're too late. Another is in the mode of passion, that's when you run to make it happen, and then 11 o'clock, bang, you sit down. That's in the mode of passion, and there's arriving in the mode of sattva. I have not found this in any scripture, by the way. That is when you arrive a little earlier and you're peacefully finding a place and you're settling. Let us try the forgotten virtue of punctuality. I have to try my best. I'm not so good at this one. But we want to have a very, very full retreat. So please be there on time. I thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki Sisi Gaura Nitai ki Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.